And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. And he shall deliver them from the wicked and save them, because they trust in him. A God morning, and welcome back to the God School. I just quoted the 40th verse, the last verse of Psalm 37. Let's dig into this psalm and get the context. God says, verse 1, fret not. He says, and verse 7, fret not. He says in verse 9, fret not. Now, good biblical understanding is when God says something twice, we should pay attention. When he says it three times, man, you know, let your ears perk up and hear. Today, in this nation, in fact, around the world, millions, perhaps even billions, are fretting. God says, fret not. What is bringing about fretting in our lives? Well, there's that thing called the coronavirus. Well, what if I get sick? The Lord healed all that were sick. Well, you know, I've been furloughed. I might lose my job. Jehovah Jireh is a name of the Lord, which reveals to us he's our provision. Oh, what if I get sick and die? Hey, absent the body is present with the Lord. God says, fret not. Well, I don't know how to get out of this fretting condition. Well, let's see what God has to say. Third verse says, trust in the Lord. Fourth verse says, delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Now, you know, to those promise box practicing Christians, they pull that one out and say, oh, Lord, I desire a Cadillac. And, you know, it says you'll give it to me. Well, but that's not the context of that fourth verse. It's basically saying unto us, when you make the Lord your delight, he shall fulfill thy desires. What else? Verse 5 says, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, King James translation says, "And he shall bring it to pass." Well, let's look at those words for a minute. Commit. This Hebrew word comes out of the old camel train, merchant caravans, where the merchant would carry his merchandise on his back, and weighted down by that merchandise, he takes it and he rolls it off his back and he puts it on the camel. It says, whatever it is you're fretting about, commit it unto the Lord and trust in him. Here we got that word again. Trust. To lean upon with your whole weight, with the expectation that whatever it is you're leaning on is capable of holding you up. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Literally, those last words are, the Lord knoweth. And because he knows, he goes to work for those who are trusting in him, who are making him the delight of their life, who have committed their way, whatever it is that's causing them to fret. Let me bring it into modern terms. To worry. To be distressed. Whatever it is, committed unto the Lord. He knows, and he works. Seventh verse says, rest in the Lord and wait, King James says, patiently. 95% of the time when you encounter that word in the King James Bible, patience or patiently, the word is endurance, and wait enduringly. Well, wait a minute, I just committed it to God. It ought to be taken care of right now. I'm sorry. I don't care whether you have been a saint of God for decades or you're just now coming to the light of who God our Father is. You know, wait. So many people have lost their faith because they think they can demand God to do what it is they want when they never give God what he wants. And when they do, they want their fretting situation taken care of immediately. Well, wait. With endurance. When God's people, whom he calls my people, do those things, trust in him, delight make God the delight of their life, commit their way trust him, and wait enduringly, God does go to work. Now, what is God's response to those who do those four things? The 17th verse of this psalm says, for the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. Oh, that leaves me out. The good news of the gospel, of which the Apostle Paul was not ashamed, was, proper translation, the righteous by faith shall live. If you're living by faith, God equates that absolutely with righteousness. I'm not claiming it. God declares it. Oh, that we would understand that. The 18th verse says, the Lord knows the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. What does that say? It says, God knows. He's not sitting up there in heaven twiddling his thumbs. He knows each and every one of us and knows our complete condition. The Gospels say that even the very hairs of your head are numbered. Think on that. It says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And he, that is the good man, delighteth in his way. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, O Lord, and in whose heart are the ways of thee, O Lord. That's a proper translation of Psalm 84:5. It says, though he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hands. Do you know that third verse, fourth verse of Hebrews 1, it says of Jesus Christ that he upholdeth all things by the power of his word. Oh, I'm trying to communicate that which God has revealed to us about himself through his word. Back to I'm worried about where my next paycheck's coming from. 25th verse. This is King David speaking. He's called a man after God's own heart. He says, I've been young, and now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Think on that. The ones living by faith, God says, Or David says he's never seen them forsaken. God said of his people to his people, I will never leave you nor forsake you. The 28th verse says, for the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. Oh, you know, I could go through the litany, but I'm not going to. You know, the church doesn't make saints. Saints are a people who have committed their way unto the Lord. You saint something when you lay it on an altar and give it up to a deity. That's the simple meaning of the word hagios, translated New Testament. That's a Greek word, translated New Testament, saints. They are preserved forever. Third verse. The Lord will not leave him in his hands. Well, let's go to the 32nd verse for context. The wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hands, nor condemn him when he's judged. Oh, saints of God, do you understand when we come before the judgment seat of Christ, we're not going to present our works as reason to enter into eternity, but with great thanksgiving. And worship, we are going to recognize Jesus, whom God treated his own son as we deserved to be treated. That God may treat us as his son deserves to be treated. For faith, for trust, God, the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ is, for faith, God puts his life in us and puts us. When I say his life, that is the life of Christ in us and puts us in Christ. I like this 35th and 36th verses of this 37th Psalm. I've seen the wicked in great power, spreading himself like a green bay tree yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Oh, there's a day coming, folks. To those who are trusting God, to those who are making God the delight of their heart, to those who have committed their way unto God and are waiting with endurance . Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. Set your eyes, behold, guard, look with desire upon the perfect man, none other than Jesus Christ. For the end in him is shalom, wholeness, wellness, cessation of againstness, even it includes the understanding of prosperity. Thirty-ninth verse. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. Oh, wait a minute. I thought I had to do this, do that, do the other thing, stop doing this, stop doing that, and stop doing the other thing that I might get salvation. What does this verse say? But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. He gives salvation. He is their strength in time of trouble. God never, ever, ever said, in this life, we wouldn't have trouble. In fact, Jesus himself said, in the world, ye shall have tribulation, whatever the form. But it says, God is their strength in time of trouble. God is our strength in time of fretting. God is our strength in time of distress. God is our strength, whatever it is that is or seems to be overwhelming you. Therein is the context of the opening verse of this morning. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them and deliver them from the wicked and save them, because they walked perfectly, because they went to church every Sunday, because they went to Bible study on Wednesday nights, because they did this, because they did that. No, what does it say? Because they trust in him. Herein is a perfect description of Jesus Christ. The name Jesus is the translated name from Hebrew to Greek, the Hebrew name being Joshua. Joshua, his name originally was Joshua, it meant helper. He was Moses' second-hand man, or right-hand man. He was helper to Moses. His name was Joshua. And God told Moses, don't call him Joshua anymore. Call him Jehoshua. J, contraction for Jehovah. What's the meaning? Joshua, God our helper. Jesus, God our helper. Jesus Christ. God our helper and deliverer. What does he deliver us from? He delivers us from the wicked. He helps us. When brought to the temple as a babe, they said, what's his name? And the response was, Jesus. For he shall save his people. Who are his people? The ones God has gifted this faith. This ability to trust in him. Yea, Lord, I thank you today for revealing to us yourself through the word, that this fretting condition we might find ourselves in, whatever it may be, we know we have a helper and deliverer and Savior in you. To you, Lord, be the glory forever. Amen.